Welcome to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播。现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众好，今天是七月三号，北京时间下午五点，我是张燕。现在请听国际新闻。以色列总理内塔尼亚胡敦促各方不要自行执法。此前警方在耶路撒冷的一片树林里发现了一名阿拉伯少年烧焦的尸体。警方还没有确认这具尸体是否就是阿拉伯少年戴尔，但是据目击者称，几名以色列人在东耶路撒冷将他强行带上车，然后迅速驶离。内塔尼亚胡称这起谋杀应当遭到谴责。巴勒斯坦抗议者周三向以色列防暴警察投掷石块，警察则用催泪瓦斯和橡皮子弹予以还击。在这名巴勒斯坦少年的尸体被发现的前一天，人们刚刚为三周前在约旦河西岸失踪的三名以色列少年举行了丧礼。以色列指责激进的组织哈马斯绑架并且杀害了这三名少年。以色列已经警告将会采取严厉的回应，而巴勒斯坦民族权力机构主席阿巴斯则要求以色列严惩杀害阿拉伯少年的凶手。来自乌克兰、俄罗斯、法国和德国的外交部长同意为了恢复乌克兰政府跟亲俄分离武装之间的停火，在星期六以前开始举行会谈。四名外交部长星期三在柏林开会以后发表声明说，乌克兰、俄罗斯和分离分子的代表将会参加会谈，目的是达成一项无条件的、共同商定的可持续停火，由欧洲安全与合作组织监督执行。乌克兰总统波罗申科6月20号宣布了一项为期一周的单方面停火，后来又延长了三天。同时，一些分离分子的领导人说，他们将遵守一项跟基辅的停火同时实行的停火。乌克兰政府指责反叛分子违反停火100多次。波罗申科拒绝第二次延长停火期限，星期二在东乌克兰重启军事行动。中国国家主席习近平开始对韩国进行为期两天的国事访问，很多人将此次访问视为对北京传统盟友朝鲜的冷落。预计习近平将跟韩国总统朴槿惠的会谈重点将是朝鲜的核项目和导弹弹道项目。在过去一周里，朝鲜数次向其东部沿海发射短程导弹。一些人士认为平壤以这种方式表达对习近平访韩的不满。这是中国国家主席首次在访问朝鲜之前访问韩国。自习近平就任中国国家主席以来，这是他第五次会见朴槿惠。习近平还没有跟朝鲜领导人金正恩会面。金正恩在2011年掌权。预计习近平此次访问的另一个重点是促进首尔跟北京的经济关系。中韩两国是重要的贸易伙伴，双方自2012年以来一直就签订自由贸易问题进行谈判。美国国土安全部部长杰·约翰逊说，美国正在加强一些海外机场的保安，这些机场有直飞美国的航班。约翰逊星期三表示，国土安全部持续评定全球安全威胁环境，并且重新评估加强机场保安的措施。日本同意部分取消对朝鲜的制裁措施。目前日本和朝鲜继续就被平壤绑架的日本公民问题进行会谈。新闻报告完了，这是张燕从美国首都华盛顿向各位报告的。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate-level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课重点讲打电话约时间见面应当使用什么语言。首先请听电话采访。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Mr. Blake is traveling on business and has agreed to talk with us by phone. Welcome, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
The last time you were here, we talked about your trip to San Francisco.
That's right. I went to San Francisco to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies.
What did you do after you checked into your hotel?
I called Mr. Epstein from my hotel room. I wanted to meet with him as soon as possible.
Well, today, we're going to listen to your conversation with Mr. Epstein.
Okay.
Advanced Technologies, may I help you?
Yes, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics. I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Just a minute, and I'll put you through.
Epstein.
Mr. Epstein, I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Blake.
Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great.
How was your trip?
I had a nice flight, and it was on time.
When did you get into San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
下面我们来听一些词句的变换说法。
May I help you?
How can I help you?
This is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
This is Charles Blake of International Robotics.
I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Could I please speak to Mike Epstein?
Just a minute and I'll put you through.
One moment, I'll connect you.
I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Mr. Blake of International Robotics would like to speak with you.
Elizabeth 采访 Blake 先生。
Mr. Blake, let's talk about your conversation with Mr. Epstein. Do you think the conversation went well?
Yes, I do. I wanted to meet with him as soon as possible, and we were able to set up a meeting for the next day, Tuesday. I was looking forward to talking with him.
I see. Thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Culture 点滴。这一节我们要回答的问题是，在打电话给一个大公司的时候，应该怎样和接电话的人沟通？
Hello again. We're here with Gary Angleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
All right.
We have an interesting question today about using telephones in business. A listener writes, when I make a telephone call to a big company, what should I say to the person who answers the phone?
That is a very good question. At big companies, the people who answer the telephones are called receptionists. You have to tell the receptionist who you are and who you want to speak with. You may also have to give some information about the purpose of the call.
Could you explain that again?
Sure. Here are the three things you should do. First, be sure to identify yourself and the name of your company. Use the expression, this is. For example, when I call, I say, this is Gary Angleton from Culture Tips. Next, tell the receptionist who you want to speak to. The best way to say it is, I would like to speak to, and then the person's name.
That's not so difficult.
Then you can give some information about the purpose of your call. This is especially important if the person may not remember who you are. For example, you could say, I met him in Hong Kong last year, and he suggested I call when I came to town.
Yes, that makes sense.
One more tip. If the person called you first, be sure to say, I'm returning his call. That tells the receptionist that the person wants to talk to you.
What happens next?
After you give your information, the receptionist will put you on hold. That means that you have to wait while the receptionist tries to find the person. The receptionist will usually say, please hold, or one moment, please. While you are on hold, you may hear some music or just a period of silence. Don't hang up.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Weber Industries, may I help you?
Yes, this is Roberta Milton.
This is Sam Bliss speaking. How are you, Miss Milton?
Fine, and you?
Just fine, thank you.
I'm calling to see if we can arrange a meeting. There are several matters I'd like to discuss with you.
Okay. When would be convenient?
Could we meet tomorrow?
Yes, that's possible. What time would be convenient?
How about 2:30?
Fine. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Me too. Okay, in your office at 2:30 tomorrow, right?
Right. See you then.
See you tomorrow.
Gary 提示。Gary 今天要讲用什么样的语言表达方式提出建议。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to make suggestions. In the business dialogue, Mr. Bliss asks Ms. Milton to suggest a day for their meeting. He asks her, when would be convenient? Listen to the conversation. Notice how Ms. Milton uses the expression, could we meet, to suggest a day for the meeting.
I'm calling to see if we can arrange a meeting. There are several matters I'd like to discuss with you.
Okay. When would be convenient?
Could we meet tomorrow?
Yes, that's possible.
Saying could we is one way to make a suggestion. Another good way to make a suggestion is to say how about. Let's listen.
What time would be convenient?
How about 2:30?
Fine.
You can also make a suggestion by mentioning a time and then asking, how does that sound? Listen to the conversation between Mr. Epstein and Mr. Blake. Listen for the expression, how does that sound? Or, how's that sound?
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
本星期的第二课，我们重点讲解了在提建议时应当使用的客气语言。首先，请听电话采访。这一课的嘉宾是先锋技术公司的 Michael Epstein 先生。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Michael Epstein. Mr. Epstein is speaking to us from his office in California. Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Today, we are going to listen to your phone conversation with Mr. Blake. He called you just after he arrived in San Francisco.
Yes, I remember.
Were you expecting Mr. Blake's call?
Yes, I was. I knew that he was arriving in San Francisco on Monday, June 10th. So I kept my schedule free for the following afternoon, Tuesday afternoon.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Advanced Technologies, may I help you?
Yes, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Just a minute, and I'll put you through.
Epstein?
Mr. Epstein, I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Blake.
Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great.
How was your trip?
I had a nice flight, and it was on time.
When did you get into San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. Where are you staying?
I'm staying at the Embassy Suites. It's about 20 minutes south of the airport.
Ah, that's real close to my office here. I'll tell you what. I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. Then we can go to lunch, and then I'll show you around San Francisco.
That sounds very nice.
词句代换.
How are you?
How have you been?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Just fine, thanks. And you?
When did you get into San Francisco?
When did you arrive in San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
I got here a few minutes ago.
我们继续采访 Epstein 先生。
Mr. Epstein, let's talk about your conversation with Mr. Blake. You suggested that the two of you meet for lunch.
Yes, I thought it would be a good idea for us to get together in an informal setting. I wanted to fill him in on some of the details of our project to build a new factory. I didn't want to schedule a formal meeting until he had a chance to rest.
That was very considerate. How about the agenda? Did you go over the agenda?
Yes, of course. I confirmed with him the items he wanted to discuss at the meeting and how much time he needed.
Right.
Then we went for a nice drive around San Francisco. I dropped him off at his hotel and then returned to my office.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴。 这一节我们要讨论的是 商务活动中的相互寒暄问候。
Hello again. We're here with Gary Engleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
All right.
Well, today we have a very important email question about business culture.
What is it?
The question is, in a business telephone call, should you immediately begin talking about business?
That is a good question. Actually, in business phone calls, we rarely go directly to the main topic.
Really?
Before talking about business, we usually talk about a friendly topic. Talking about friendly topics is called small talk.
Can you give us an example?
Yes. When Mr. Epstein talks with Mr. Blake, he first asks Mr. Blake about his flight.
Oh, I see.
It gives the conversation a friendly start.
What are some good topics for small talk?
Common small talk topics are weather, hobbies, and travel. These topics are usually very comfortable, but you should avoid talking about very personal topics.
I see.
Small talk helps people in business build better personal relationships. For example, if someone comes to town by airplane, you can ask, "How was your flight?" If they say their flight was terrible, you can say, "That's too bad," or "I'm sorry to hear that." And if their flight was good, you can say, "I'm glad to hear it." This shows that you're interested in personal feelings and not just business.
That's very interesting, Gary. Thank you again for your culture tips.
商务对话. 一位年轻的商界人士打电话给另一家公司，约见该公司的生产部经理。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Bob Harmon.
Hello, Mr. Harmon. This is Henry Michaels of Stetson Industries.
Oh, hello, Henry. What can I do for you?
I was wondering if we could get together sometime this week. I'd like to discuss our delivery schedule.
Well, let's see. I'm busy the first part of the week, but I'm free on Thursday afternoon. How does that sound?
That's good for me. What time?
How about 3 o'clock? At my office.
That's great.
提示 Gary 要给我们讲一些同对方约时间和地点见面的各种客气的说法。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today we'll look at some more ways to suggest the time and place for a meeting. First, let's review some expressions we discussed on our last show. One way to make a suggestion is to say, "How does that sound?" Let's listen.
Well, let's see. I'm busy the first part of the week, but I'm free on Thursday afternoon. How does that sound?
You can also use the expression, "How about?" Let's listen.
What time?
How about 3 o'clock, at my office?
A more formal and more polite way to make a suggestion is to use the expression, "I was wondering if." Listen to the following example from the business dialogue.
I was wondering if we could get together sometime this week.
This is a difficult sentence, but it is a very polite way to make a suggestion. In Mr. Blake's conversation with Mr. Epstein, he uses a similar expression, "I was hoping that." Let's listen.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
Let's hear that again, more slowly. I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime. This is a very polite suggestion. We'll talk more about polite suggestions on our next show.
Charles Blake.
On today's program, I'll be talking again with Charles Blake of International Robotics. Mr. Blake is traveling on business and has agreed to talk with us by phone. Welcome, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
The last time you were here, we talked about your phone conversation with Mr. Epstein. You arranged to meet him on Tuesday, June 11th.
Yes, that's right.
Let's listen again to that part of the conversation.
Okay.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. Where are you staying?
I'm staying at the Embassy Suites. It's about 20 minutes south of the airport.
That's real close to my office here. I'll tell you what. I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. Then we can go to lunch, and then I'll show you around San Francisco.
That sounds very nice.
When shall we get together?
When shall we meet?
I'm free after 11 o'clock.
I'm not busy after 11.
How's that sound?
Is that good for you?
That sounds fine with me.
That sounds good.
接下来请听 Elizabeth 继续采访 Blake 先生。
Did Mr. Epstein meet you as planned?
Yes, he did. We had a very nice lunch in San Francisco. Then we went for a drive.
Did you discuss business?
Yes, we did. A little. Mr. Epstein wanted to explain some of the details of the project, about their plans to build a new factory. And he wanted to learn more about our industrial robots. As you know, we wanted to sell our robots to Advanced Technologies for use in their new factory.
Did you discuss other topics?
Well, yes. He told me that the new factory was scheduled for completion in October. So this October deadline was very important. He was also concerned about after-sales service.
Do you mean maintenance, repair, and so on?
That's right. They were concerned because our company is not based in the U.S. They wanted to be sure that we could provide good service in the United States.
I see. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Hello again. We're here with Gary Angleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
Okay.
We have a question today about making appointments. The question is, how should I suggest a meeting time?
Well, it depends on your relationship with the person you want to meet.
I'm not sure that I understand.
Well, if it's someone you know quite well, you can be very direct. For example, let's say you want to suggest a meeting time to a coworker, someone you've known for a long time. You can just say, "Let's meet tomorrow for lunch," or "How about tomorrow for lunch?" But even with friends, you shouldn't be too direct. Don't say, "I want to meet with you at 3 o'clock tomorrow."
Oh, I see.
But with someone you don't know well, or someone very important, it's better to be more general, more indirect. For example, you can say, "I was hoping that we could meet sometime in the next few days," or "Would it be possible for us to meet sometime tomorrow?" Very polite suggestions are often very long.
Isn't that rather vague? Very general?
Sometimes it's good to be vague. Vague means no definite time. That gives the other person a lot of freedom to suggest a good time.
What if the other person asks you what time you should meet?
Well, you can suggest a time. Or if you want to be very considerate, you can say, "What time is good for you?"
Very interesting and useful. Thanks again, Gary.
Let's
listen to today's business dialogue.
"Hi, John. I was wondering if we could get together sometime this afternoon. I'd like to go over our sales forecasts."
"Sure, Bob. That's fine. When is good for you?"
"How about 3 o'clock?
"That sounds good. Where shall we meet?"
"I can come to your office. Or the conference room might be more comfortable."
"Okay. Let's meet in the conference room."
"Great. See you then."
Gary 提示。Gary 要给我们再讲讲在回答对方建议时可以使用的各种语句。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today we'll look at some ways to respond to suggestions. There are many ways to show agreement in English. Words like okay, sure, fine, and so on. Let's listen to the first part of the business dialogue. Bob suggests that he and John meet that afternoon.
"Hi, John. I was wondering if we could get together sometime this afternoon. I'd like to go over our sales forecasts."
"Sure, Bob. That's fine."
John says, "Sure, that's fine," to accept Bob's suggestion. Then he politely asks John to suggest a meeting time. Let's listen.
"When is good for you?"
"How about 3 o'clock?
"That sounds good."
"That sounds good" is a good way to accept a meeting time. John asks Bob to suggest a place for the meeting. Let's listen.
"Where shall we meet?"
"I can come to your office, or the conference room might be more comfortable."
"Okay, let's meet in the conference room."
Bob suggests two places for the meeting, John's office or the conference room. John chooses the conference room by saying directly, "Okay, let's meet in the conference room." Now, let's listen to a conversation which does not go so smoothly.
"Hi, John. I was wondering if we could get together sometime this afternoon."
"I'm sorry, but I'm busy all afternoon. Can we make it some other time?"
The expression, "I'm sorry, but," is a polite way to refuse a suggestion. That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
美国之音现在报告新闻。以色列总理内塔尼亚胡敦促各方不要自行执法。此前警方在耶路撒冷的一片树林里发现了一名阿拉伯少年烧焦的尸体。警方还没有确认这具尸体是否就是阿拉伯少年科戴尔，但据目击者称，几名以色列人在东耶路撒冷将他强行带上车，然后迅速驶离。内塔尼亚胡称这起谋杀应当遭到谴责。巴勒斯坦抗议者星期三向以色列防暴警察投掷石块，警察则用催泪瓦斯和橡皮子弹予以还击。在这名巴勒斯坦少年的尸体被发现的前一天，人们刚刚为周三在约旦河西岸失踪的三名以色列少年举行了葬礼。以色列指责激进组织哈马斯绑架并杀害了这三名少年。以色列已经警告并采取严厉的回应，而巴勒斯坦民族权利机构主席阿巴斯则要求以色列严惩杀害阿拉伯少年的凶手。来自乌克兰、俄罗斯、法国和德国的外交部长同意，为了恢复乌克兰政府与亲俄分离分子武装之间的停火，在星期六之前开始举行会谈。四名外交部长星期三在柏林开会后发表声明说，乌克兰、俄罗斯和分离分子的代表将参加会谈，目的是达成一项无条件的、共同商定的可持续的停火，由欧洲安全与合作组织监督执行。乌克兰总统波罗申科6月20号宣布了一项为期一周的单方面停火，后来又延长了三天。与此同时，一些分离分子领导人说，他们将遵守这项与基辅同时的停火的同时实行的停火。乌克兰政府指责反叛分子违反停火100多次。波罗申科拒绝第二次延长停火期限，星期二在乌克兰东部重启军事行动。中国国家主席习近平开始对韩国进行为期2天的国事访问，很多人将此次访问视为对北京传统盟友朝鲜的冷落。预计习近平与韩国总统朴槿惠的会谈重点是朝鲜的核项目和弹道导弹项目。在过去一周里，朝鲜数次向其东部沿海发射短程导弹，一些人士认为平壤以这种方式表达对习近平访韩的不满。这是中国国家主席首次在访问朝鲜之前访问韩国。自习近平就任中国国家主席以来，这是他第五次会见朴槿惠。习近平还没有与朝鲜领导人金正恩会面，金正恩于2011年掌权。预计习近平此次访问的另一个重点是促进首尔与北京的经济关系。中韩两国是重要的贸易伙伴，双方自2012年以来一直就签订自由贸易协议问题进行谈判。美国国土安全部长杰·约翰逊说，美国正在加强一些海外机场的保安，这些机场有直飞美国的航班。约翰逊星期三表示，国土安全部持续评定全球安全威胁环境，并重新评估加强机场保安的措施。他没有透露为什么要采取最新的行动，或哪些机场需要加强保安。奥巴马政府星期四对西方新闻机构说，美国计划在一些外国机场加强保安，是因为担心基地组织可能研发了一种可以偷运进飞机的新型炸弹。日本同意部分取消对朝鲜的制裁措施。目前日本和朝鲜继续就被平壤绑架的日本公民问题进行会谈。日本首相安倍晋三星期四说，这一举措代表着全面解决绑架日本公民问题的开端。安倍晋三没有说明取消制裁的具体项目和时间。东京和平壤本星期在朝鲜驻北京使馆举行会谈，讨论被绑架的日本公民问题。长期以来，这一问题是妨碍日朝关系的主要因素。日本和朝鲜没有正式的邦交。前法国总统萨科齐指责法国司法机构试图侮辱和毁掉他。各位听众，以上您收听的是美国之音的新闻，感谢收听。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目。因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。观众朋友大家好，欢迎继续收看美国之音 VOA 卫视7月2号星期三现场直播的节目。现在是时事大家谈节目，我是肖洵。
好，各位观众朋友大家好，我是宇宙。昨天呢，也就是7月1号，是香港回归17周年，抗议者举行了香港有史以来最大的游行活动之一，对抗北京政府与日俱增的政治控制。
那么与此同时呢，美国的国会的一个委员会提出了要将中国的驻华盛顿的使馆所在的地址改名为刘晓波路1号，引发了中方强烈的不满。美国国会为什么会提出这样的这个议案？那么北京为什么会对以刘晓波命名这个街道如此的敏感？今天呢，我们也时事大家谈也请分析人士进行分析。
好，今天参加时事大家谈节目讨论的有两位嘉宾，一位呢是美国网络杂志《纵横中国》总编陈奎德先生。好，另外一位呢是香港开放杂志总编金钟先生。金钟呢从美国纽约通过电话参加节目。金钟先生你好。
你好。
好的，我们欢迎两位，我们也欢迎各位听众和观众朋友以及网友拨打热线电话参加节目的讨论。我们的免费热线电话呢是400-120-0551，400-120-0551，大陆和台湾两岸的观众和听众朋友呢都可以拨打这个电话发表评论，也提出您的问题。那么首先第一个问题，我想听听在美国纽约的金钟先生您的看法，就是说这次的这个香港的游行呢声势相当浩大，我们看到在维多利亚广场上的这个人山人海。那么这次的这个抗议呢，就因为它每年一次，它跟往年呢有什么不同，它的突出点在哪里？
跟往年相比啊，人数是比较多，已经是这个十年来，2004年以来十年来的最高纪录哈。再一个特点呢，就是说持续的这两年这个倾向啊，就年轻人比较多，这次更凸显了这一条，所以这次这个情绪呢是也是非常的高涨啊，跟前几年的有所不同，是吧？因为最近发生了这个一连串的事情，使得香港人的情绪啊非常的这个激烈吧哈。
好，谢谢金钟先生。接下来我想问问在我们叶博士的陈先生，那么陈博士呢，这次就是同样的问题啊，您怎么看？您觉得这次跟往年它突出的地方在哪里？
这次主要是面临着一个香港人感觉到重大的危机感时刻，就是说中共发布了所谓的白皮书，白皮书对于当年的中英联合声明，在某种程度上，在实质上的有些方面，实际上进行了否定，所以香港人觉得自己的生存方式、自己的自由和法治这方面的程度越来越受到威胁，所以说香港人这次有相当高昂的气氛和相当多的年轻人去上街游行，我想反映了香港人的某种危机感和焦虑感。
是的，我觉得这个年轻人呢，在这个当中扮演这个主角，就是主体，这个就非常重要的一方面。另外就是人数方面呢，我们知道有一些这个出入和这个差距。那么组织方他们报出的人数有51万人，那么警方呢说只有9万多，不到10万人的样子。我今天看到这个亚洲周刊有提到这样一个数字，他们估计说大概在17万人左右，这样一个是可能比较接近准确。这个数字非常难的这个去控制。我们知道我当时在香港的工作的时候，看到他们游行的时候，他们都是用眼睛估算这样的一个数字。不管怎么样，这个民意不可违，就是香港人现在这个对目前这种状况是有看法的，有担忧的。那么陈博士和金钟先生，我想先问您一下，您觉得这个香港人一再的在推动这个民主发展，还有这种普选这方面的这个事情，但是呢中国方面呢，您觉得在近十年来有没有做出过一些让步在这方面？
说让步啊就谈不上哈。你比方说昨天这个环球时报他就 发表了一篇社评，专门就针对七月一号的这个游行写的。那种口吻呢、啊，没有丝毫的让步，而是表现了一种专制国家的那种权力的傲慢啊，就是说，哎，这个数字，好像大家不要把它看重啊，这个不要把它当回事儿啊，就这种口吻啊，完全是不能啊有丝毫的设身处地的体谅香港人在1997这个回归以来已经等了10多年了，现在很快到这个2017年的时候呢，就是20年啊，让一再的让步啊，那么北京当局来讲的话，他们对这个香港人的普选权了，可以说是也一卡再卡啊！你看，回归5年不给，10年不给，15年不给，那么现在等于说是香港人来讲是最后一个机会了啊！你再不给的话，那就实在是不能忍受。
好的，谢谢金钟先生啊陈奎德博士，我想问这样一个问题：您觉得这一次呢发白皮书，是不是显示出本届政府、习近平政府在这个问题上更加强硬？
从白皮书的口气来看，很显然是比过去更加强硬，而且有些话你过去没有这么说过，就是说香港的这些所谓的自治权、高度自治权、港人治港，都是由最终的权力来源是由中央授予的，那个意思就是中央不授予你就不会有这些权利了。这个和当年的中英联合声明作为一个国际文献是相违背的。国际文献大家知道，中英联合声明是两方达成的协议，而且是当年邓小平承诺了的，要50年不变等等等等。现在采取这样一种办法，实际上是中共是完全失去了信用。所以香港人对于中央这种背信弃义的行为是感到非常愤怒，所以说这次才做出这样强烈的反应。我想这个反应，不管是人数是50几万还是多少万，清楚地表明了香港人的民意，我说这个是没有疑问的。所有的人都，包括他的公投，前面有将近80万人和这次的大游行，所以香港的民意是非常清清楚楚的。如果是中央对香港的民意完全置若罔闻，完全觉得你这个是不是怎么回事，甚至《环球日报》说是十三亿人，你香港人几百万人算什么？那个意思是这样。那么你十三亿人，让他们来表达一下他们的意愿，可不可以呢？你要说，他说，当然这个本来在作为一个地区是由原住民投票来表达他自己的自治权的问题，但是即使是这样，中共你要说是十三亿人，你拿13亿人的意志来公开的表达一下，你有没有这个胆量？没有这个胆量。
所以当时好像是被当作这个笑话，在网上也在谈论这方面事情一周，
很多人在这个取笑啊，就说13亿人根本就没有这样的选择权利。好，接下来我想问问在纽约的金钟先生，就是说刚才呢肖勋也谈到，就是北京政府是不是有让步的这个举动，那么我想问问您，就是即便北京政府让步的话呢，那么香港人在选特首这个问题上是不是有真正的选择？那么还有呢，就是候选人之间有没有本质的差别呢？
现在香港人跟当局啊，尤其是跟北京当局的一个具体的分歧在哪里？就是说这个特首候选人的提名的方式啊，北京呢就一直不松口，就是说这个候选人呢一定要提名委员会来提啊，那么香港人就希望公民啊，市民都可以有这个提名权，啊，现在具体的分析呢，是在这样一个点上面，因为这个很重要啊，那个提名委员会呢是被官方所操控的，啊，他规定什么人可以当做候选人，是吧？那么就是说，香港人想要推荐的候选人，不被这个提名委员会接受的话，那你看这个候选人的资格都没有，那不就是说你这个选举就假的了嘛，是不是？所以这一步呢，这个很重要， 现在的分歧在这个地方。
好，金钟先生，我们现在有几个听众观众已经打来电话，不过在接电话之前，我想再问陈博士一个问题，就是说您现在看，刚才你也提到现在到一个关键的时候了，现在是不是已经接近一个临界点，或者说大陆的这中央政府和这个港人之间到了摊牌的时候？
接近了吧，但是还是不是说到了最后的那个时刻还难说，因为现在香港人可能还在等现在港府要公布一个普选方案，就是2017年的普选方案，这个方案和港人的要求有多大差距，是不是完全的按照中央说的，是说是实际上那个提名委员会某种意义上在香港人判断起来是完全是由中共操纵的，还是说他有某种松动，有现在香港人不是这次投公投有三个方案的选择，实际上香港人相当理性，大家认为恐怕最激进的那种就是全部用海选那个是得高最高票，但是不是，是中间那种，就是说三种又公民选举又党派的还有其他的三种不同的提名方式汇拢来那个得到最高票，所以说香港人也是比较理性的，我想中央和包括特首也应该看到香港人这种比较理性的回应的时候，自己要做一些调整，这才是一个出路。
好，接下来我想听听在纽约的金钟先生，请您做一下回应。那么刚才有天津的张先生说，这个香港人只要坚持下去呢，就能以获得一些结果，就是北京政府会让步。那么我记得您刚才早一些时候也谈过，就是说，如果呢这个双方僵持下去的话，可能矛盾会激化。那么如果矛盾激化的话，会是一个什么样的后果？金钟先生。
香港这个问题啊，我认为根源在什么地方啊？根源就是在香港回归。啊，回归呢？本来这个事情，香港要割让给英国100多年，英国人在这儿管制。这个管制呢，是得到了香港人的承认的啊，认同的啊。所以说，在1997年的时候，香港人表现出来，他们是多数的民调。还是说要维持英国人在这里管制的这一个现状啊？那么中国呢，等于说他是强行的要把香港收回来，是不是啊？所以当时按照国际的惯例，这样一个问题应该在1997年香港进行公投啊，公民投票啊，但是中共也完全拒绝啊，不给香港人一点权利。所以在这样的情况下面，香港这个回归啊，可以说是啊政治上的一种强奸，所以根本问题是在这个地方。所以呢，中共就设计了一个所谓一国两制，这个一国两制本身是荒谬的，是违反中华人民共和国宪法的。宪法的第一条就讲，这个我们国家的根本制度是社会主义制度，任何人和组织不能反对这个。但是你呢，给香港有一个这样一个特权，就是说你可以实行资本主义，所以这个是设计本身就存在问题，就存在着埋伏了，一直到今天，甚至于到未来，就所谓一国跟两制的冲突，所以这个问题是解决不了的。所以今后啊，香港人的抗争啊，和中共的这个高压啊，他们的集权统治之间的矛盾还会继续下去。
所以呢，刚才那个广东的杨先生谈到了一点，就是说的是这个啊，他说，那你香港的这个民主人是没有拿出一整套的东西来，他说这个叫民主本身不是一个什么。不是个东西，但是呢，是要看这个是不是要用在这个合适的地方，跟这个，所以呢，有这么样一个问题，是不是香港的未来这个事情呢？当初邓小平做出这样子的规划是不得已而为之，是不是因为他没有办法，就说搁置，后人再去解决这样的事情，做出一个妥协的方案？
我想邓小平先生当时的意思，我觉得还是他还是比较清楚的，就是说所谓要搞一国两制，就维持原来香港人的生存方式，就是说它基本上的自由和法治，就是资本主义制度等等，他是说是50年不变，实际上他的潜台词是50年以后也不需要变了，实际上就是这个两制是一个动态的过程，实际上大家都知道，在一个国家体制内你要有两个根本不同的制度，这不可能，它是一定是要变化的， 因为中国大陆这么大一块土地上，它一定要会影响到香港大陆，要管制到香港大陆的这些东西来。但香港也会反过去影响大陆，所谓就是当时就一直在讲，将来是香港的大陆化还是大陆的香港化。当然香港对大陆有很多影响，但是大陆对香港有更大的影响，作为中央政府。
是，
但是邓小平当时他也是看到大势，他觉得大陆过去是搞得不好，像毛主席，所以香港那个制度是好的，但是我们要收回主权来，我们还是让香港人按原来的方式，按英国人的方式来管理的方式来，我们来搞。实际上五十年之后呢，他就认为大陆可能已经改革的变化的和香港差不多，不是他说的国内还要建几十个香港嘛，诸如此类的。他实际上是潜台词是说，到了五十年以后，大陆已经变得和香港差不多了，那个时候合并就差不多。
所以最根本的原因是不是因为这个大陆在政治体制方面的这个改革没有推动，停滞在这里了，所以这个事情就没有办法再推动
下去。他是千个不如了。现在就是说，大陆因为在这些年虽然经济上做了非常重要的改革，但是在政治体制方面没有任何改革，就基本的改革没有。所以说他后来和那个香港的体制上的冲突一定会发生，会越来越严重的发生，这个是毫无疑问的。现在关键就在于，我就是过去讲过的，香港和大陆体制两者之间都在变化，都要向对方靠拢，没有办法。但是就是说，谁能够有定力，能够使自己的生活方式能够坚持下去，能够在大陆是大陆政府想坚持他那个政治统治制度，但是大陆人民不一定是这样，国际社会也要推动你向国际社会主流靠拢。所以这个事情，如果是在香港还没有彻底的变回成大陆化之前，大陆体制已经变了，那么事情就皆大欢喜。如果不变的话，恐怕将来的这个是个悲剧性的冲突。
嗯，那么陈博士，我刚才就刚才肖群也提到广东杨先生，其实我还很想顺着他这个思路再问您一个问题，就他提出来为什么就这个民主，其实用民主的制度也不过是为了达到一些目的。那么我想问问你，就为什么在世界全球的多数的国家和地区选择使用民主的这个方式来达到目的，而不是非民主的方式达到目的呢？
这个很显然的，这是一个基本潮流，或者像孙中山先生说的，世界潮流浩浩荡荡，顺之则昌，逆之则亡。你现在全世界有100多个，就是有1/3的国家已经是实行选举民主制的国家，说明这个制度它达到的包括经济上的，包括政治上的，例如自由，我们说如果我们不说民主是目的，我们说它是一种手段，它是达到人们能够更自由自在的生活的手段，富足的生活的手段，表达自己个性的手段。这样的话，那我想这个是清清楚楚的，中国的这种一党专政的中国共产党领导的这种制度在全世界只有5个国家了，而且还在慢慢的在减少的过程中间。所以说哪一种是真正能够达到使人们能够真正的达到人的目的，达到人的自由解放的目的，我想这个是清清楚楚的。
是的，我们这个时间第一个话题快结束的时间快要到了，在结束之前呢，我想再请问一下金钟先生。金钟先生，您作为港人，您对当前这个政府呢，在这个香港的这个问题上，在中国国内的政治方面呢，强硬的这个手腕，您觉得呢，对香港本身这个民主进程而言，是不是感到悲观？
是的，我有基本的一个悲观啊，当然这个悲观不是100%啊，那么留有的一个余地就是香港人的这个抗争啊，这个抗争不会停止，因此呢，就说还是抱着一线的希望，但是只要在大陆的这个政治体制啊没有进行民主改革之前啊，这个希望这个抗争是不会有大的这个效果的啊，根本上来说，就我刚提到的一国两制，现在北京的解释，包括香港特首7月1日的讲话，他说香港人的资本主义制度，他只提到是经济方面的资本主义制度，他就都不提政治方面啊。因为我们知道资本主义制度固然有是自由市场的经济这个方面，但是更重要的还有政治制度的资本主义的特色嘛，资本主义特色它当然就是民主自由法治嘛，这个所谓普世价值的这一套嘛啊，这个就成为这个一国两制冲突的一个根本之点，就是这个地方他们不能接受啊，实际上不能接受香港的政治上面的资本主义化， 啊，这个资本主义化那根本特征当然就是民主跟法治嘛，啊，所以白皮书重点就讲了，刚才陈博士也提到了，白皮书公然这么说，他一国两制，你香港人的两制啊，是我中央，我给你多少你就有多少，我不给你多少，你不给你你就没有，你看。这种简直是这个非常霸道的这种口吻，完全违背了啊中英联合声明当时签署的这样一个协定啊和原则，香港人当然是非常的愤怒。
好，谢谢金钟先生。关于这个香港这个未来的话题呢，是一个很大的话题，我想大家都有很多话要说，不过今天这个时间有限，因为这个香港七一大游行这方面的这个讨论呢，今天现在就进行到这里。那么以上呢就是今天时事大家谈全部的内容了，感谢您收看。另外呢，美国之音中文网站上新创了电视节目预告，点击卫视留言板，您就可以对即将讨论的话题提出问题或者发表评论，我们等待您的留言。
好，时事大家谈的 Facebook 和 Twitter 账号的网址呢，分别是 facebook.com/voaio 和 twitter.com/voaio， 我们期待与您有更多的交流和更多的互动。
明天的时事大家谈的节目，我们将讨论四老虎被踢出中共，那么习总反腐是否出重拳等话题，请您在北京时间晚上8点到10点准时锁定 VOA 卫视，我是肖洵，祝您晚安。
我是宇宙，我们下次节目再见。
下面请听一篇美国政府的政策声明，美国之音并不代表美国政府发言。
全球联系日益紧密，科技的快速发展，全球化以及贸易自由化消除了阻碍人口和物资自由流动的几乎所有障碍，大大促进了跨国商务、贸易和银行业务。跨国犯罪集团也越来越多地利用这些领域内新出现的自由进行跨国犯罪活动。美国国际麻醉品和执法事务局负责打击犯罪项目的高级总监戴维·露娜说，今天全世界面临的犯罪威胁的情况趋于一致，罪犯和非法贸易者跨边境联合行动，不断把犯罪的触角延伸到世界各地，渗入公共部门和市场经济领域。这种非法经济活动相当于全世界 GDP 的8%到15%，它扭曲地区经济，削弱合法商业收入，并为冲突提供资源。犯罪活动所得通常被掩饰，并用于购买房地产等资产。我们可以通过没收这些资产来阻止非法犯罪活动所得渗入合法经济活动。奥巴马政府意识到跨国犯罪集团的规模、活动领域和影响力的扩大，3年前公布了打击跨国有组织犯罪的战略。露娜说，这项战略包括美国和其他国际伙伴合作，打击跨国非法犯罪网络，并将这场斗争提到新的高度，瓦解犯罪集团从事腐败活动的能力，摧毁他们资金来源的基础，没收他们的非法资产，并切断他们渗入金融系统的途径。美国推出了打击跨国有组织犯罪的奖励计划，如果提供有关国际犯罪集团的重要信息，可以获得多达500万美元奖励。我们与国际伙伴进行执法的情报与信息交流，促进相互之间的法律援助。我们还持续加强与其他合作伙伴以及国际组织的合作，包括七国集团、欧盟、国际刑警组织以及经济合作与发展组织的打击非法贸易特别工作组。露娜说，在当今世界，合法的生意和商业往来会给非法贸易提供便利，并产生对它的依赖。如果我们不保持警惕，非法贸易将给我们带来无法躲避的威胁。
以上播出的是一篇美国政府的政策声明，美国之音并不代表美国政府发言。
美国